Well, amen and amen. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Revelation. We're beginning a new series this morning entitled Dear Church. We're walking through John, the Revelator, the beloved disciple, right? The word that the Lord gave him to the seven churches of influence right around the first century time, and speaking to how that word, it was not just for those people at that time. God's got a word for us in this room today over the next several weeks. And so we'll be journeying through Revelation 2 and 3 through July the 3rd. And so you guys make sure to be here for that. Real quick before we dive in, just want to make a quick announcement, just a quick reminder. Starting June the 1st, Wednesday, June the 1st, we're beginning our five-week series on Wednesday night. It's called Family Matters. Family Matters. That's going to be happening at our Sango location. It's going to be an all-family joint time where we're going to be talking all things family, marriage, kids. The second Wednesday, June the 8th, we're actually going to have a special guest speaker. He's going to be speaking on mental health. Obviously, we know in today's world that that's a huge issue. And maybe some of you in here have walked through mental health struggles in your life. You want to make sure you're there for that. And so information in your bulletin, you can sign up. We ask that you sign up because we're going to have a VBS type of event each of those Wednesday nights for the kids. We also are going to have food provided. And so if you wouldn't mind signing up for that, you can sign up in your bulletin. You can go to livingoakclarksville.org or take a picture, that QR code, and sign up that way. But you do not want to miss it. Family event. And so it's going to be a great time in the Lord. Well, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 is where we are today. We're looking at God's word to the church at Ephesus, and again, how God had a word for those folks in the first century, but not just for them. God's got a word that we see here for his people today. Just real quick before we dive in and read, I just kind of want to give you, preface you on what's going on up to this point. Again, John, the Revelator, the beloved disciple of Christ, right, is on an island called the Isle of Patmos. He's there, while he's there, right, he has a vision from the Lord. He sees the Lord and also hears from him a word to go and to share, right, this truth with these seven prominent churches that were prominent in the late first century time there. And what I love, right, is that he's very descriptive, on his vision of Jesus, how he sees Jesus. How many of you know that the Jesus that we follow and worship isn't just the baby in a manger? The Jesus that we follow and worship isn't just the one that's still hanging on the cross. He's not there anymore. Matter of fact, the Jesus that we worship isn't the one that's laid up in a tomb. He's alive and well. And look how John describes. I want to read it to you. Verse 13 of chapter 1 through 15. I just want to read to you how he describes this resurrected Jesus. He says this, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like that of a roar of many waters. This is the Jesus that worshiped, the resurrected Christ. And so, man, we got to have the right picture of him. This is who we worship. This is who we follow. The one that is risen, right, and is coming back, right, to meet his bride one day. That ought to get you fired up. I may be the only one fired up in here, but bless God, it makes me want to shout. Man, he's coming back, and he's coming to take his bride one day. This is the Jesus that he describes here. And we see whenever he describes him, right, he fell on his face when he saw him, and then we see a word that's given to him of these different churches. And he starts out with the church at Ephesus. And so Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there today. I'll go ahead and ask again. Maybe you're busy turning there. Let me go ahead and ask one more time. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there, church. Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it. And if you don't have a Bible with you, that's all good. The verses will be on the screen. But this is what the word of the Lord says. In Revelation chapter 2, it says this: to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. He's talking to the church specifically here. I know your works. I know your toil and your patient endurance and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. He starts out, right, this message starts out with him commending the churches there at Ephesus for all the good stuff that they're doing. Man, they're enduring persecution that was taking place during that time. Hey, they're folks that are standing for the truth, right, and man, declaring false teachers false in that time. They're doing all these great things for God. But look at what verse 4 says. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which, by the way, there's not much written about the Nicolaitans. We see many scholars believe that they were probably a cult during that time that was in spreading false, you know, false doctrine. And so, you know, says, hey, yet you have this. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And then verse 7. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. We'll see as we walk through this series and these seven different letters, a common structure or theme, right, words are given to these churches. Starts out by commending them and what good that they're doing. And then it gives a condemnation, a rebuke, if you will, something that they need to change. Right, and then it encourages them again with the reality of eternity, right, and the fact that they one day are going to be with him forever, those that know him. And that's what we see here in Ephesus. These folks, man, they did a lot of good things for God, did a lot of good things. Man, they knew a lot of truth, but man, they forgot the main thing, and that being love. They lost their first love. And maybe you're like them today. I know I fall victim to this all the time. I could get into doing things more so out of routine, out of rote, out of duty, rather than choosing to delight in the Lord. And my love for him and his love for me be the motivating factor in why I choose to live for him. See, the Ephesian church, they lost it. Something happened over time. Their hearts grew cold. And Jesus was saying, hey, man, you got to get back right. Got to get back right. And perhaps that's the word that he has for us here today. You know what they forgot? They forgot what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. You remember this? You know, a religious leader went up to him and said, hey, what's the first commandment, Jesus? Or what's the greatest commandment, rather? What's the greatest commandment? And he says this. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, friends, at the end of the day, the Ephesian church, even though they did a lot of good things, man, they forgot the main thing. They forgot the main thing. It being about loving God and delighting in him and loving his church. And maybe you're like that today. I don't know where you are. But my hope and prayer is that we choose to understand at the end of the day, it's all about love. That's where it starts. It's where it starts. And by the way, that's what I titled the sermon today. All about love. It's all about love. Why don't we pray together? God, we love you. We do thank you for today, Lord. I pray over these next few moments that you would, God, encourage us to understand and keep the main thing, that it first starts, Lord, with God, us loving you, delighting in you, Lord, teach us to do that, Lord. Whether we've been a Christian for 20 days or 20 years, Lord, my hope and prayer is that we would choose to not be like the Ephesian church, Lord, and neglect and forget about our first love, that being you, Lord. I pray that we'd understand that's the cornerstone, that's the centerpiece of our Christian life at the end of the day, God. Help us to understand that and walk in that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here's the truth today, Brother Bill. Here's the truth. If we choose to operate like the Ephesian church did, choosing to follow God and respond to Him more so out of duty than delight, here's what happens. One of two things. Either A, right, we get burnt out following Him because we're just doing a whole bunch of stuff, you know, for Him instead of, you know, doing things because of His love for us. Or the other way, we get puffed up. All of a sudden, hey, we've got all this knowledge. We've got all this thought, man. Hey, we've been doing this Christian thing for a long time, so we're superior. Which you may not think this at the time, but you know, one step leads to another. All of a sudden, you think, man, hey, there's not really a need for God. I'm good enough. My knowledge is good enough. What Jesus is warning the Ephesians church and what He's warning us here today is to remember that it is all about love. That's where it starts. It starts with loving Him with our whole self. Starts with loving others. And it's through our love for Him and others that we're motivated, right, to do what He's called for us to do. Maybe you're in here and the truth of the matter is, listen, you have a cold heart. Your walk with Christ is lifeless. Man, you may listen to a couple of verses every now and then. You may voice a couple of prayers here and there, but you hadn't heard from God in a while. Man, He hadn't spoken to you. You hadn't been shaken by Him. Your walk with God is lifeless. Maybe you're operating out of duty rather than delight. Listen, I believe we see here in the text, if that's you, we see three remedies for a cold heart. Three remedies for a cold heart this morning that we see in Revelation chapter 2. The first remedy we see, and it's listed right here. First remedy is this. We've got to choose to remember. We've got to choose to remember, church. That's what he first off starts by saying, hey guys, listen, man, you've forgotten your first love. Hey, remember. Go back. Remember your life beforehand. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. The response of the Ephesian church, the first response to them was to choose to remember the place where they were before they got to the place where they are now. And what remembering looks like is this, us choosing to first and foremost remember the joy of our salvation. Remember, man, the joy that came whenever you chose to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Remember that. Go back to that time. Your heart's cold? Hey, go back to that time. When you responded, man, to the greatest news ever, the gospel message, and your life was forever changed. Go back to that time. You say, Pastor Irv, man, I was about 5 years old when I got saved. There wasn't anything crazy going on. Listen, you could still go back to it because you went from being an enemy of God to a son or a daughter of Him. Go back to that time. For me, right, because I've got to do this all the time. Brother Tony, hey, listen, being a preacher, I could fall victim to doing stuff out of duty over delight all the time. I could literally, you know, spend time in my office, you know, read a commentary or a theology book, and that replaced my quiet time with God. I could easily, you know, say, hey, man, I pray for that person, so that replaces my time in prayer with God. I could easily fall victim to this. And whenever I do, man, I've got to return to the joy. Myself, I got to return to that time when I came to know Him. For me, it was April 2009. I was ending, you know, my junior year of high school, towards the end of my junior year of high school. And I remember, you know, we're at this little youth event, and I'm there praising God. Brother Tony, I thought I was saved. I'm praising God. We're singing some kind of song, maybe Mighty to Say. That was a song everybody sang back then, y'all, those of you in youth. Mighty to Say, singing that. And Spirit of God, it was like it was audible, said, hey, Irv, you know all about me, but you don't know me personally. And I remember that night, giving my heart and life to Christ. And I remember, hey, over the next several weeks, it was a process, but I remember over the next several weeks, my life changed. Here's how it changed. All of a sudden, man, my life went from, hey, I'm doing all these things out of duty. I'm reading my Bible because I'm supposed to man, I'm encountering God whenever I'm reading it. I'm hearing from him. He's speaking to me. The relationship became real. I've got to go back to those times. And in the same way for us, man, if our heart grows cold, we've got to go back to those times. It looks like this, going back to those early days when you were hungry to know him and his word. Going back to those days when you just wanted to hear from him. You wanted to be with him. Going back to those days when you saw him work wonders in your life. You saw him answer prayers. You saw him, man, use you to minister somebody around you. You got to go back to those times. Listen, church, your walk with God, is your walk with God stale? If it is, hey, man, remember. Man, go back to the time when it was alive in your life. I love what the Old Testament specifically talks about whenever it talks about remembering the Lord, right? There are several passages all throughout the Old Testament that speak to remembering him. And a couple here that I put down, 1 Samuel 12:24, right, says this: only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. And then Psalm 103:2 says this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Man, remember the joy of your salvation. It's not just remembering the joy of salvation. Remembering looks like this: remembering the love that you had for others. Going back to the Ephesian context, if you know anything about the Ephesian church, all you got to do is read the book of Ephesians and Paul's letter to them, that epistle. But we know that the Ephesians were known for their love for God and others. Man, Paul commended them all throughout, right? He encouraged them to continue to walk in unity. The church at Ephesus, the churches that were there, some of the churches that were, man, mixed with Jews and Gentiles, and yet they were able to come together, able to be united, man, worshiping and fellowshipping together. He says in Ephesians 1:15, right, he commends him on his love they have for others. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith, right, he's talking about having joy for the church there. Because I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Man, he commends them for their love that they have. But over time, something happened. And they had lost their love for those within the congregation, but also those outside the doors. And maybe that's you today. Maybe because of a bad experience, right? Man, you struggled with loving your own neighbor. Physical neighbor, but also neighbor within the household of faith. Maybe, man, for whatever reason, because you've chosen to pick a line, the world, you know, they've got different lines and, you know, the divisions all across the world. And you follow suit of that. Hey, if this person isn't this political affiliation, man, I ain't gonna love them. If this person is a different color than I am, I'm not really gonna love, I ain't gonna mess with them. Person on the other side of the tracks, I ain't gonna mess with them. Maybe you've fallen victim that your heart's grown cold and you've lost your love for people. If that's you, friend, we've got to go back, man, to the time when we loved people. Hey, we got to go back to the time when we just chose to obey God and loved our neighbor because it said so. The Bible said so. We've got to choose to go back to those times. Man, go back to the days when life wasn't all about politics and what side you're on. Man, go back to the times when your relationships were not totalitarian, but were rather built out of a love and desire, man, to get to know them and for them, for the lost person, for them to come to know the truth of Jesus. Man, go back to those days when you didn't have a critical eye towards folks for what they looked like or where they came from, but cared enough about that person to have a conversation with them. We've got to remember the love that we had for others. Because remember, hey, in Christ, we don't see people from merely a human perspective anymore. We don't see folks from a human point of view. Did you know that? Say, Pastor, where do you see that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 5:16 talks about it. It says it this way: from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. We don't see people according to the flesh anymore. That person that you're sitting next to that's a believer in the room, or that person that you bump shoulders with or brush shoulders with. Hey, listen, if they're saved and you're saved, y'all are brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, that person, right, that's far away from God, we no longer see them as just a lost sinner that's way off. No. We see that person the same way that God saw us before we came to Christ. One for whom Christ died for and is in need of the hope of Jesus. We see folks different. We've got to return back to how we see people. Remember Remember. Hey, remembering, right, it helps to reignite a fire in our heart for the Lord. Because here it is. This is good right here, Brother Ryan. This is good. Hey, remembering, right, it reignites a fire in our heart for the Lord. Because here's what happens. Listen, it's when we choose to remember. We understand that even though seasons may change, God is still the same. Amen. He's still able to work wonders today as he did back then. Hey, he's still able to encourage you today as he did back then. So we must choose to remember. Remember, that's the first component. Second component. I need to go ahead and move on here. I got a little worked up at that point, Brother Tony. Got a little worked up. Let me go ahead and move on to the second point here. The second remedy for a cold heart is this. We've got to choose to repent. Choose to repent. That's what the word says here. It says, return therefore from where you've fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. We've got to choose to repent. Whenever I think about repentance, I think back to eighth grade English class, Brother Joe. I enjoyed English. I liked English and history were my favorite classes growing up, but had this one teacher, and I started out great, man. I was acing first couple 6 weeks. And then, you know, just like any teenage kid, you get a little lazy. You know, I like to cut up in class a little bit. And so, you know, I ended up finding myself kind of in a hole. Well, come the spring, you know, back then, I don't know if they still do it now, but we had state testing. I remember taking the state test. And I got all but one question right. You know, got all but one question right. And the teacher calls me in, you know, to her office and says, hey, Irvin, congratulations, you missed one on your state test. And I remember thinking, man, this is great. Man, you're going to give me an extra pat on the back? Maybe she's, you know, going to give me some candy or something, free pizza? I don't know. I'm thinking, man, I'm about to get rewarded. And she goes on to say, I'll never forget it. I've got it burned in my head. She looks right at me and says, listen, there's no excuse at all for you failing my class if you were able to miss just one question on this test. And so you need to get right. You need to get right. And return to how you were doing the first couple of 6 weeks. You need to go back to that place. Listen, y'all know where I'm going, but I'm going to go there anyways. That's essentially what repentance is. It's turning back. It's turning. It's turning and going back to Jesus. There has to be a willingness, right, to turn away from our cold heart and get back to the Lord. And what that looks like practically is this, us choosing, man, to lay down. Man, whatever's coming in the way of us being cold, lay that stuff down. And choose to turn and run back to the Lord. And ask for Him to fill us with the Spirit. So we can operate, man, in this loving and honest relationship with Him. Letting go of the pride and insecurity. This word, this call to repent, man, hey, it was just a straight, Jesus was just a straight shooter. He just kept it 100. With them. He just kept it real with them. And the call is the same for us to do the same thing. Listen, here's the deal. God is not going to continue to bless a church, right, that chooses to operate on its own. Right? It's a church that chooses to live life as business as usual, even though they've got a cold heart and they need to repent. God isn't going to bless a church that doesn't respond to the call of repentance. God isn't going to continue to bless an individual who continues to operate in sin when there's a call to repent. And so the response for us today has to be to choose to humble ourselves, man, and turn back to God. You got a cold heart? Listen, the call is to choose to repent. Choose to repent. Or else, there's consequences for that. And that's what he highlights here. The Lord will remove the lampstand from the church. Lampstand signifying the influence of the church there. He'll remove that. Man, we talk about God being a God of mercy and grace. He is, man, very much so. But he's also, man, a God of justice. And if you're not willing to get right over time, man, he'll remove the influence that he's given you for him. He'll, for all intents and purposes, perhaps render you useless in the kingdom of God. And so our call ought to be to choose to respond. There's mercy and grace that's available when we choose to move to confess our sin and repent. I'll go ahead and throw this in free of charge, by the way. right? Repentance is the first step of restoration. First step of restoration. It's the first step in returning. Right? Those of you, man, that are yearning to hear from God and yearning to get back to that place where you once were. Man, in sweet communion and fellowship with God, hey, the first step is repentance. Repentance. Turning back to Him. Repentance. We must choose to repent. And then thirdly and lastly, right, the third remedy for cold heart, we see it here, is the call to respond. The call to respond. He says in verse 7, hey, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Which, by the way, signifies that he's not just talking to the churches in large, right? He's talking to individuals as well. He who has an ear, let him hear. He's speaking to individuals. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to you right now. Hear this word and choose to respond to it. Choose to respond to it. What that looks like I mentioned earlier, is putting down your pride, insecurity, cloud, and choosing, man, to go back and just make your walk with Jesus just about you and Him. Go back to that place where the heart of worship was just Him. Quit worshiping what you know, right, in the philosophy of who God is, and choose to worship Him. Quit walking in constant, you know, pessimism, and choose, man, to walk in a manner that's pleasing to Him. Choose to respond. Choose to respond. I've got to answer this often in my personal life. A lot of times I know what to do. Know that I've got to repent. But I'm thinking, man, because I'm a preacher, I don't necessarily feel like I need to do it. Maybe you're like that. Maybe, you know, you've known God for a long time. You know a lot about Him, but you know that your heart's cold, and you know you've got to choose to respond in this manner, but it's kind of like, I can do a little more. I can read a little more. I can study a little more, and maybe that'll... No. Listen, the response is to choose to lay down your pride and all that and choose to repent and turn back to Him. You've got to choose to respond. And then He ends, like I said, with that encouragement to the church. Hey, though to the one who conquers, right, to the one who perseveres, right, which, by the way, if you're a child of God, bless God, you're going to persevere to the end. You're going to persevere to the end. To the one who perseveres will not be hurt. Oh, sorry. The one who perseveres, who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Man, we ought to be motivated to choose to be folks that respond to this call because of the fact of what's to come. Because of the reality that we're going to spend forever with Him. 1 John 5:4-5 says it like this. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We must choose to respond. A couple takeaway thoughts and we'll be done this morning. First takeaway thought that we see here is this. Understand this, because I think this is oftentimes misunderstood within the life of the Christian. Spiritual maturity is exemplified and how we choose to love God and love others. Spiritual maturity is expressed, is exemplified in how we love God and love others. I think it's oftentimes mistaken, and the Ephesian church fell victim to it. Man, they knew a lot of stuff about God. They did a lot of things for God. I didn't mention this first service, but I'll mention it now. Right, the Ephesian church, man, they had some of the greatest preachers ever. The Apostle Paul was a preacher there at one time. Timothy was a preacher there at one time. Right? They had other guys that stepped in that were great preachers. They sat under the best teaching, preaching, all this stuff. But listen, man, a lot of them weren't mature, and it was shown in how they chose to love God and love other people. I've met a lot of people. Maybe you know folks like this. I've met a lot of people. Brother Ed, over time, I've met a lot of people, man, who knew a lot about the Bible, knew a lot about God. Man, could you know, tell you the Greek and Hebrew of this and that verse. They could do all that, but were as mean as a snake. You met any folks like that? Right, they knew, they had all this knowledge, and the thought was, hey, knowledge equated to spiritual maturity. But the reality was, listen, they weren't mature. They didn't love people. They didn't care about people. They didn't love God. Listen, in the same way, that's the truth for us here. Listen, growing in knowledge is great. Bible says we're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, but don't mix it up. Don't forget about love. Hey, because without love, your knowledge, it puffs up. It just puffs up your head. But love, at the end of the day, edifies. And so we've got to understand, spiritual maturity is exemplified in how you love God and love others. What does that look like in your life? Listen, if you might have been a believer for 20 plus years, might have known God for a long time. You might know God for a long time. But listen, if you don't desire to be with Him and you don't love those that are around you, can I be honest with you? You're a 25-year-old infant. Maturity is expressed in how we love God and love others. Secondly is this. Hey, friends, there is grace in the warning. There is grace in the warning. It's interesting here, right, that there's a warning given to this church here, right? And I believe within this warning, right, God is showing His grace, displaying His grace towards the church here. He could have easily just chosen to take the lampstand. Oh, these guys are acting up. They're not loving me. They don't care about me. They're just doing all this stuff out of routine. You know what? I'll just take their lampstand, remove their influence. But He gives them a warning there. And hey, friend, that warning is indicative of the grace of God. And in the same way, hey, maybe the warning that is giving you here today, right, is really a picture of His grace. And saying, hey, you can turn it around. You can come back to me. Your life doesn't have to be about doing all these, fulfilling all these obligations or doing all these duties, right? You can come back to the heart of the matter. You can come back to me. Listen, there is grace in His warning, right? There's grace in the fact that He shows patience to us. And so choose to take heed of His warning and respond to His grace there. You remember the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8. Now, we don't have time to read it, but you remember, Israelites are getting ready to go to the promised land, and God, through Moses, right, gives a warning, essentially, of what's to come. Hey, listen, be careful, take heed, right, to choose to follow me, or else, man, you're going to get into the promised land, forget who I am, and choose to worship all these other idols, these other countries and other people are worshiping. Don't forget me. And they took heed of the warning, and God blessed them for a season. And then we know judges come, and, it's a mess after that. But listen, we must understand that there's grace in the warning. So, man, choose to respond to the warning. And then thirdly and lastly, third takeaway is this. Hey, choose to go back to what He's done. Choose to go back to what He's done. There is great value in reflecting on what God has done. Hey, that helps us to get through. That helps us in these seasons of, man, of us being in a spiritual rut, right? Where again, we don't sense God's presence, or we don't hear Him as we're walking through, right, our time with God, right? Going back and remembering those times when He did move, that helps us to get through it. The seasons where, man, life is so busy, right? Especially those in here who have parents, that are parents, where life is so busy that you feel like, man, I can't get but 2 minutes with God, it feels like. And it's remembering those times that enables us, man, to choose to remember our first love. It enables us to choose to run back to Him. Psalm 143:5 says it this way, the psalmist. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that You have done. I ponder the work of Your hands. Reflecting on all the great things He's done for us has a way to rekindle that fire and love that we once had for Him. And so choose to remember the days of old. May we choose to understand, church, that at the end of the day, man, our Christian life is all about love. The foundation, right, of our Christian life is about our love for God and love for others. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And so may we choose to remember that, reflect on that, and choose to walk in that moving forward.